The Hundred Acre Wood was inhabited by Winnie the Pooh and his friends Eeyore, Tigger, Rabbit, and Piglet. The most fun 10 acres in golf is seated at the Cradle at Pinehurst. And we have the Pinehurst Six on tonight. This is awesome. We are back. We are joined Masters Thursday. We get a little bit of a recap. Maddie, we don't get like friends from other spaces that also have the name Pinehurst, but we're joined by yeah. Greg Galvin, the founding member, maybe or maybe not, of the Pinehurst Six. But Greg, we'll let you introduce yourself.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, one of the six founding members, I will say. We've got 10 guys now, probably 12 next year. The Big Ten has 18 teams now. So, you know, it all makes sense if you don't think about it.
And the SEC is about to get a little bigger, too, with Florida State and Clemson. A little birdie told me they're on their way over there. So
exactly. Yep. They don't sue their conference to just stay in the ACC. So they're going
Not to get on an immediate tangent, Greg, thanks for joining us. But I heard that ESPN is going to broker that deal because if they move to the SEC, they still get the TV revenue because they own the ACC and the SEC. So they're going to ESPN's going to slide some cash over to the ACC and get them out of there to build another one of these super conferences.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah. This is sweet. Yeah, it was our first adjacent golf trip.
So Zuckerberg drew me in. He said, like, hey, you have to follow the Pinehurst Six. And Greg, tell me a little bit about the Pinehurst Six and what it encapsulates a little bit.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we're just a buddy's golf trip. You know, we started this is our 10th year of the trip. It just so happens to be U.S. Open at Pinehurst, so we'll be down there for Thursday of the U.S. Open. Really excited for that. But yeah, it started when we were just getting out of college. We were 22 years old and weren't really ready to stop living like college kids, and we're like, well, we got to do something big and make it something we can all look forward to every year. So we started this golf trip, and it actually was just two guys the first year. They just went down there, our guy Brandon and TK. We call him 1.0 now because we got two TKs, 1.0 2.0, and so B-Don and 2.0 or 1.0 went down there, and they're like, man, we got to invite more people next year. So the next year we had our five, and we went down, and then a couple years later, we added 2.0 as our sixth. I named our group chat the Pinehurst Six, and one guy was like, man, that sounds like a 30 for 30. That's awesome. The Pinehurst Six. Like,
yeah. It kind of
does. So the name stuck, and we've just been going on this trip ever since. We really, you know, we're competitive guys. We always wondered who played the best. So we came up with a system based on handicap. We take everybody's course handicap. We add it all together over the six rounds, and you start that far under par. So our buddy Chris, 18 handicap, he starts the week out at like 130 under par, and everybody else goes from there to like all the way down to Brandon, who starts at like 10 under par.
And Greg, you know, we were talking about this.
Everybody just like, yeah, just level.
It's like it's like the tour championship. You're just giving people. I just
want to be on 130 under for like a moment in time. I feel like Whitney Houston singing in the background. Like,
I think that would be torturous though, Gib, because every stroke you give back, it's almost like you're giving back two. In your mind,
I know it would be just. I don't just for
you
a moment.
Can you win a grinder? Can you win a Gibby's grinder from that far ahead?
So you know, I think a lot of our listeners and a lot of our followers, like they're very big on, you know, these golf trips and guys trips and like what is it like and what's the reason behind why you play, etc. And so it's really cool to hear other people. And. And the reason we named our show One Night in Pinehurst was not necessarily because we're covering Pinehurst, but because of the camaraderie and everything that we built there. And, so with that being said, have you guys played the cradle and have you gambled on the cradle?
Oh, I mean, we gamble everywhere. Yeah, but that's the right
answer. Yeah.
So
Vegas isn't listening.
They don't care about us.
So yes, we got to play the cradle last year, but I wasn't there for it. So crazy story. I had a buddy get married in New York last year, right in the middle of the golf trip. And I was a groomsman. So it wasn't just like, you know, a normal wedding. This is like one of my best friends getting married. So I went down to Pinehurst. I played the first four rounds of the trip. I hopped on plane. I flew to New York. I was in the wedding. I caught a red eye back and made our tee time to Tobacco Road at 9:20 in the morning the next morning. Just barely. I mean, popped in the Uber, like, just, hey, man, don't get pulled over, but get there as fast as you can.
That's the hidden excellence.
I love everything about that.
Yeah. I have a trip that I do with a couple of buddies. It's a college football draft trip, and there's four of us, and you make it at all costs. Like, you find a way. We got a buddy who it usually falls somewhere around one of his kids' birthdays, and he's like, just whatever you can do, because you got to keep the tradition alive, which is right. Awesome. And I see the Tobacco Road flag behind you, so I was going to ask you, do you guys generally play the same collection of courses? Do you try to mix it up? There's so many down there. Like, what do you guys generally do there?
Yeah, we try to mix it up. Tobacco has been our finishing round for the past, yes, I think, 4 or 5 years, ever since we went there the first time. We played Tot Hill Farm the first couple times we went down, and it just completely ripped our souls out of our bodies. But we were like, hey, let's, you know, try to find another course.
Let's find a medium. Yeah,
exactly. It's still, you know, it's Mike Strantz, but Tobacco Road is just, oh man, you can't beat it. It's like great. It's a fun house for golf. It's just, you know, you hit one way over right, and then all of a sudden it's left of the green somehow because it just took a roller coaster ride. It's a great course, great finishing course too. So that's where we've been, and yeah, it's like, it's a little north, so it's kind of on the way home. That's how we justify it. So
last
round,
smart. I like that efficiency. A trip needs efficiency. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah, this year we're not playing Pinehurst courses. Actually, we're going to be out in like Raleigh, Durham area, because we're going down for the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
and every course was like, oh, hey, the U.S. Open's in town. Let's jack up the prizes.
I think if we did like Pinehurst Powers combined, maybe we could all
be able to carve one out. Yeah. Although they wouldn't let Greg Norman into the Masters, so I don't know how they're going to let us in, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
Are there specific places in Pinehurst, whether it's restaurants or, you know, like flagpole places, that you're like, yeah, we got to get there every year? That's kind of like
bars inside of inns, anything that comes to mind.
Dugan's Pub down in the Village is like, we went there for dinner the first year, and we were like, I mean, okay, because we stayed upstairs the whole time for dinner.
Yeah.
And then the second year we went and they sat us downstairs, and we're like, oh, this is a little dive bar, like karaoke. This is awesome.
Oh, it got wild. We were there for St. Patrick's Day.
We put some time in. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dugan's is our place. We got to go at least once. And of course, the brewery. The brewery is fantastic. Pinehurst Brewery. But yeah, other than that, we try to find new places. But we always go to Dugan's. We used to go to B-Dubs down there the first night. That was like our tradition. And then we had...
How far is the B-Dubs from Pinehurst Village? Because we got a guy who would be very interested to know this.
Oh, dude, it's like 5 minutes. It's
oh my god, right, Rick! No, just Ricky. That's Rick's favorite place. He wants to be buried inside of a B-Dubs. He told me. So, well, all right, noted for the return.
It's right there.
Okay.
Your favorite course in the Pinehurst area, other than Tobacco Road, you mentioned it,
right?
Already, but.
My favorite course is Tallamore. Quickly followed up with Mid Pines. Mid Pines Arnold Palmer course. It's hard to beat. But Tallamore has a special place in my heart. It's just
it's a cool logo awesome. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. The cool logo. They so they have like two logos. They've got like the old course logo with like the pop bunker, And then the one that the Masters got a little upset with them for is the llama with the flag stick in it. Yeah.
Yeah. We have some of those. Gibby, you put on a show at Talamore. You did some stuff.
It was Caledonia.
I think you did some. I remember post game at Talamore, we were up all hanging out on that top level, watching everybody finish at the bar.
Oh, well.
And you did some special.
You know what's a beautiful thing is when the worst golfer on the trip like just puts it all together for a minute and he's finishing and he's like hitting a 30-foot putt. And even though he was he shot a 12 on the previous hole.
The people on that balcony don't know that though.
No, they don't. They had no idea, and everybody was
everyone forgets about that previous 17 holes.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to actually that. So I think I feel like I'm in the minority on this. And Greg, I'd like your take. And I know you guys play a lot of similar courses, but any trips you've been on where you've only played the course like once total before, after, etc. I have a hard time remembering every hole from these courses. I feel like some people are just really adept at like understanding and remembering. I vaguely remember portions of courses, but I don't know, I struggle because they all kind of, especially down there, they all kind of feel the same. So it's tough. But I feel like Talamore is one of those. I played with AB that day. I remember a few holes. There's a hole in the back, par three, entirely over water, rocks right in front of the green. And then the green just starts right there. And the road is to the left. And AB and I both hit really nice shots. And they were like 5 yards short, hit the rocks, went back into the water. And like torpedoes the whole thing. But I don't remember very many of the rest of them.
No, I'm with you. I don't have a golf brain like that. I mean, I struggle to remember what hole is on my, like my local 18 that I play every week. And they're like, oh man, you're shot on 13. Like you gotta remind me what hole 13 is. What does it look
like? I feel like Brooks would be proud of us for that.
So Greg, you were like watching the Masters while we were doing the recording and starting out. What are your thoughts taking away? Is Scotty just going to take off? What do you think? Like Bryson, can he hang on a little bit?
Ooh, I don't know. This first round for Bryson kind of reminds me of Rory back in like 2011 when he fired a 9-under and then completely shit the bed down the stretch. Yeah. I don't know. Bryson doesn't really have the whole like let it run down your leg and on Sunday kind of mindset like Rory seems to. But I don't know. It would be interesting to see Bryson hang on to this. I don't think he's made a cut since he made that comment about Augusta being a par 67. So I don't know. After that comment, I was like, I'm never going to root for you at Augusta, man.
I think he is going to have the least amount of fans if he's there on Sunday.
He was walking up 18 today and he was like tipping his cap like he had won the tournament. And then he went to the post game interview in the tent and he spent 40 minutes talking about like a bunch of like millennial teeny bopper social media people that he wishes he could like it was he's deranged like he's completely too much time with Donnie probably but yeah he's it would be interesting if he's in the mix but I just don't see how he keeps his game intact for four straight days. It's just not gonna
I want it for the chaos that it might bring.
We want lots of live guys up there just because there's some people who just get so chafed. We got a buddy who he loses sleep over it legitimately every night. He's got one of those little dartboards and every little spot is just somebody on a live tour. And he's just constantly, he can't get over it.
It's Buscemi in like, what is it? Happy Gilmore.
Madison.
I called that guy.
Yeah, exactly. It eats him up. Eats him up good.
So in terms of like when you pick before the weekend started, who was your guy that you were, or who were two or three guys that you were circling that you were like, oh, I really like them?
Yeah, so I put a bet in on FanDuel for Scotty top 10, Rory top 10, Rom top 10, who doesn't look good. He can't hit a driver today.
Yeah, he talked too much before the trip.
Yeah.
He's so whiny, man. He's always complaining about something. He gets a lot of runway, more than he probably should.
Yeah, I don't know if I just like was blind to it because he won the Masters last year, but you're right. Yeah, he's just been
it's good process though. If you've won it before, it stands to reason you got a pretty good shot to stay involved. Yeah. So and he's not dead. What is he at? He's at the even or
he's I like the first two.
Plus two, plus one.
Yeah, he's plus two.
Yes. Yeah. I also had Willie Z top 20.
And that's looking good.
Tearing it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll see. I don't know.
Like, we're going to know a lot more tomorrow.
No one knows.
We're going to know a lot more tomorrow. There's always guys who come out early in this tournament that you just like Danny Willett's not, I know he's won it before, but he's not winning this thing again. Like there's guys who will fall off. Like Ryan Fox is not going to stay. Like it's just, that just won't happen. It's not, we don't have long shot winners on this tournament. So if you squint at the leaderboard, you can kind of get a sense. I think one person who I did not expect to play this well, who I think now is going to be in contention, is Homa. I didn't expect him to be.
Yeah. Well, he's got the Tiger. Up, I mean. Like, he got a little brush of the Tiger, too.
Caught a little Tigre. Yeah. So, and he can do it. He's got the mindset for it. So, I think some of these guys will fall off. Like, Harmon's lurking. There's guys, but a lot of this riffraff's going to get wiped out for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Greg, I thought I saw in one of your posts, and it was absolutely brilliant. Like, what would be your Masters menu, like champion menu? Mm.
All right. Yeah. So I brought this up when Tiger won in 97, he literally served burgers, chicken, like chicken sandwiches and milkshakes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in 2019,
Bubba did something similar.
Yeah, in 2019, he's serving sushi and, you know, and tuna and steak. And, like, obviously his taste has gone up a little bit from when he was 21 years old and first won the Masters. Yeah. So I like to think that I have a better, you know, sense
more
of taste.
More refined palate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. My palate has matured since then. So now I'd probably go, like, a nice blue cheese crusted steak.
Oh my gosh.
Mashed potatoes, asparagus.
Yep.
And then we'll go dessert is cheesecake. I love cheesecake. And my appetizer is truffle fries with truffle mayo. Anybody who has Parmesan truffle fries on their menu, I don't care where I'm at, I'm ordering the truffle fries. So
thank you.
Gotta have that.
That's a good, keep it simple. I mean, Tiger probably knew he was going to win so many. He's like, I might as well just touch every type of cuisine that matters out there. Yeah. But I feel like you're never going wrong with the classics, right? Steak and potatoes. Like, you don't have to get too fancy.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to appeal to what, 30, 40 guys? Some of them so old, their taste buds don't even work anymore. Like, we got to keep it somewhere where everybody can get a little bit of something. I like that. Love mashed, love asparagus. I would put some sauteed mushrooms in the mix too, I think, maybe on top of the mash.
I'm not a big mushroom guy, but I understand that, you know, most people are.
I'm not a big onion guy. I know a lot of people are.
Yeah. I mean, the more mushrooms you eat, the faster you run. But
that's true. Yeah. We all learned that. So,
sorry. That's, so I wanted to touch on one more thing, but you mentioned in your bio, right, for the Mink, and that's part of, I think, the Preston and the, you know, spirit of your golf trip. So I'd love if you're okay with it, talking a little bit about what that means.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Mink Powell, booked our golf trip for the first 6 years of our trip. And it was like a big to do just drafting up our email to Mink. That was our big thing over the winter. Like, hey, we got to get this email to Mink. And then, you know, 1 year we got an email back from Larry, Mink's husband, who said, hey, sadly, you know, Mink passed away from cancer this past year. It just so happened to coincide with the year that we started the competition part of our trip, putting a trophy on it, doing the course handicaps and everything. So we decided to name our trophy the Mink Powell Memorial Trophy. We adoringly call it the Mink. And so every year we play for the Mink. That's the hashtag that we use under everything. Everything we do is for the Mink. After that, so Larry booked our trip for us that year. The next year we email Larry like, hey, thank you. If you're willing to book our trip for us again, we'd love to have you. We get another email back from Kelly, Larry's sister, or Larry's daughter, who said Larry passed away no more than 6 months after Mink did.
That happens.
Yeah. So we added a green jacket that we give to the winner.
I saw that.
Yeah. We call it the Larry jacket.
Oh, that's incredible.
So we've got the Mink Powell Memorial Trophy. We've got the Larry jacket. And we were honored enough to have Kelly meet us out at Tobacco Road and present the jacket to our winner the first 2 years. It was a really cool moment.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's
The little stuff that you like as the it's like a snowball as it rolls, you pick up traditions on the trip, and that's what makes it a lot of fun. Like, are you gonna have her now for every jacket ceremony?
We hope so. She hasn't made it out for the past two. But you know, we're hoping that we'll, you know, keep in contact with her moving forward and hopefully have her for a long time.
I love that. Who's responsible for traveling with all that stuff?
Whoever wins it. Yeah. Smart. Whoever wins it, yeah. That's the Larry is like a nice little flex when we meet in December to have our first meeting of the mind and talk about what course we're going to. You know, we pick a brewery and the winner walks in with the Larry on. It's a nice little flex. Like, yeah, boys, I'm here and I'm wearing great. This. Yeah.
You guys are definitely in some fantasy leagues together too, I bet.
Not together. No. Yeah. I wish I tried to get one going, but everyone's like, I'm already in four leagues. So
yeah. We're all at that age where it's like, I really shouldn't be doing any more.
Yeah. I don't need to be in six more.
Exactly.
What's this Venmo for $200? I wouldn't get it, babe.
Don't worry about it.
They're
just holding it. Yeah. I'll get it back in January. Yeah.
So Greg, you're going back to Pinehurst for the Open, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Day one.
Can you join us, please, live? Give us a report. What's going on? We need to keep Pinehurst's podcasts and social media content together in one place.
Oh man, that'd be great. Yeah, I would love to. If we can make it work, I'm down.
Yeah, okay. We could probably do it beforehand, like at the hotel with wherever you guys are staying. You can get the whole crew on.
And
for sure, yeah,
Pinecrest Inn has great music. Not always the best food. Because they don't always serve it. You might have to bring in your own little.
Oh, there goes your invite, Max. You'll definitely never be plugged in now.
But we love the Pinecrest Inn. I will forever be a non-plugged in member of the band at the lobby. Greg, thank you so much.
Man.
Thank you for making this Masters Week the most fun Masters Week, I think. Maddie and I have had so far. So, and good luck on Pinehurst 6 this coming year. And incredible story. I was like starting to get choked up, and it sounds like an incredible time with some great friends. And I think that's what
it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. This is a lot of fun.
Man.
Can't wait to see you guys down in Pinehurst.
We'll see you down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.